Welcome to the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.
Performance Radio News Director Zach Nelson along with Beadle County State's Attorney Mike Moore. And Mike, this month, always fun to have a guest in the studio.
It is. It's good to give the people more than just us to listen to.
We have got the State Director for, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Jason, State Director for Marcy's Law of South Dakota.
That's correct.
All right. Jason Glow joins us. And Jason, welcome to Huron and welcome to the Mike Moore Show.
Thank you. And it's good to be back to Huron. It's kind of my second home. I grew up in Weston Springs.
I was going to say, we were talking before the program. I have I'm from Minnesota originally, but I lived in Weston Springs for about 8 years. So were you born and lived there? And to just start, I guess, too, a little background about yourself. Obviously, you've had the ties to Weston Springs.
You bet. I was actually born in Webster, lived there my first 7 years, then moved to Weston Springs where my family bought a small four-aisle grocery store. And from second grade to my sophomore year of high school, we lived in Weston Springs. Of course, Huron was our second home because if you wanted to buy shoes or clothes, you had to come to Huron. If you wanted to roller skate, you had to come to Huron. If you wanted to watch a movie, you had to come to Huron. So I spent a lot of time growing up in Huron, and this is still home for me. And after my sophomore year, our grocery store actually burned down in a fire, and we lived above the store, so we lost our home and our business. My parents ended up going back to college to get their teaching degrees. Ended up going to Black Hill State, so we went to Spearfish. I actually went to college with my parents for a couple years, and then I went to law school at the University of South Dakota in Vermilion, and then immediately after law school, I moved to Pierre, which is where I've lived since, and I moved to Pierre to work as an assistant attorney general. I spent time in the appellate division writing Supreme Court briefs. I spent time as a drug prosecutor and eventually became the director of the Medicaid Fraud Control Unit in the Attorney General's office. Thereafter, I moved into the governor's office as a senior policy advisor for Governor Rounds for 6 years, and then Governor Dugard for 2 years. Now I've been in the private sector working as a lawyer and continuing to work on political campaigns, which I've worked on and off for the past 20 years. And that's what brought me to Marcy's Law. The national organization, Marcy's Law for All, is an organization that is working to strengthen and expand crime victim laws in states that have weak laws like South Dakota. And they called around South Dakota looking for partners and talking to victim advocate organizations to determine whether or not there'd be interest in pursuing a constitutional amendment to strengthen our crime victim laws. And once they determined that there was a lot of interest, then eventually they ended up calling me to see if I would be interested in getting involved because of my background as a prosecutor and the experience I've had running campaigns. And of course, it was a perfect fit for me. And I've always been very passionate about fighting for crime victims. I became a prosecutor because I wanted to help crime victims, especially it's an honor to be back in a position where I can fight for crime victims again.
We'll pick up on the Marcy's Law side of this in just a minute. We have a few things to get to, as we always do on the program. Of course, this is your program. We want to hear from you. We actually have, for the first time, Mike, an actual question from somebody we didn't prompt to say, hey, just send us something.
A legit question. I'm excited.
It's a legit question. Now, as I was emailing with them, too, I told them, listen, we've had a guest here lined up for a number of months, and thank you so much again for being our guest this month on the Mike Moore Show. If we've got time, we will get to the listener question. It may have to be pushed off to next month, but you've been so kind with your time, Jason. We want to make sure that we get through as much as we can with Marcy's Law here while we're on the program this month. But again, going back to what I had just said, this is your show. We want to hear from you. You can get a hold of us through email, news@kokk.com, or get a hold of me on Twitter, two different ways, at Zach Nelson Radio or at PR News Huron, or send us a message to the Performance Radio News page on Facebook. Mike?
Twitter at Beadle County SA, email info@bcsa.us or mmore@bcsa.us. Stop in the office and ask us questions. It's exciting to have our official first question.
It is. It is. And like I said, if we get time, we'll try to. There's a number of questions with it, too. So like you said, it may need to be its entire show. We'll have shows through the summer now, starting at this point.
We might have to go twice a month.
Well, we'll wait about that. We'll wait about
all right.
That.
We'll hold off on that. But we'll put it on the agenda to talk about it.
Jason, let's talk a little bit. You talked about how there's the Marcy's Law for All nationwide group. And I just lost my question there. I apologize for that. What prompted you to help take up this cause in South Dakota?
You bet. And first, I'll explain who Marcy is. Usually the first question people have is, who is Marcy? And Marcy was a college student who was murdered by her ex-boyfriend while she was attending college. And her brother, Dr. Henry Nicholas, he was the one that convinced his sister to leave her boyfriend at the time, who he recognized as being trouble and bad news. And she listened to her brother, and she broke up with her boyfriend. And that boyfriend later was threatening to commit suicide if she didn't come to his apartment. She went to the apartment, and he shot her and killed her. Very traumatic experience for any family to go through, especially for that brother, who bore a lot of responsibility because he was the one who convinced her to leave him and has struggled with it his entire life. As you can imagine, how difficult that would be. In that process, and this happened in the 80s, so it was quite a while ago. In that process, on the day that they had the funeral, Marcy's mother and Dr. Nicholas were at a grocery store, and they had an encounter with the person who was eventually convicted. At that time, he was released on bond, and no notification had been given to the family that this killer, the man who killed their daughter, was out on bond, and they encountered him in public, and he thereafter harassed and intimidated them. Later on, as he was convicted, they also had challenges with the parole process, where they weren't given proper notification or a right to be heard in that process. And fast forward many years later, it was that experience with the criminal justice system, which was in California, that prompted the movement for the first Marcy's Law, and that passed in California in 2004. Most recently in the state of Illinois, in last year, 2014, passed in Illinois with 78% of the vote, so it had a lot of very strong support. There are a lot of other states that have laws that are very similar to what's become the model language for Marcy's Law. There are at least 15 other states who have very strong constitutional rights for crime victims that are very similar, so they're not just two. There are two states where a campaign for Marcy's Law has been run, where they in one, but there are many other states where they have similar constitutional rights already in place. And as far as why South Dakota, for one, has some of the weakest crime victim laws in the nation. We're one of only 18 remaining states that has no constitutional rights for crime victims. We're one of 5 states that currently has no automated notification system. And the current laws that we do have, which is called the South Dakota Crime Victim Rights Act, that was passed many years ago, is really unenforceable. There's no remedy set forth in that act that would give a victim the ability to have their rights enforced if the state makes a mistake or if their rights are violated. So we have very weak laws. That's why Marcy's Law for All approached advocates in South Dakota to see if there'd be interest and support to strengthen those laws.
We have to take a break here in about a minute or so, but what are some things that really stand out that Marcy's Law, should it be approved by the voters this fall, would change?
First and foremost, enforceability. It would make our existing laws enforceable by elevating them to a constitutional right, which a constitutional law is stronger than a state law, and it would give them standing. So if their rights are violated, for example, if a victim is not notified of a plea hearing or given the right or the opportunity to voice their opinion in that plea hearing, then that victim would have the right to appeal the court's decision, and the remedy would be basically a redo of that hearing. It wouldn't give the victim a veto power over a prosecutor or the ultimate judge's decision, but it would guarantee that they have a voice in that process, and it would guarantee that they have a meaningful role in that process. So number one, enforceability, because our current laws are not enforceable. Number two, it would not only strengthen the current laws, but it would expand them. The current South Dakota Crime Victim Rights Act is very limited in scope. It only applies to victims of violence, stalking, simple assault, domestic, and driving under the influence. And it does not include a lot of other very serious crimes, including simple assaults, misdemeanor sexual assaults, harassment, intimidation, reckless driving, theft, hate crimes, which is a felony in South Dakota, human trafficking and vehicular homicide, some very serious crimes which, under South Dakota's current law, victims of those crimes are not victims, legal victims under the definition of the South Dakota Victims Crime Act. Marcy's law would include them as victims, so it would expand the definition of victim and expand those rights to include all victims for all crimes.
Very good. You are listening to the March 2016 edition of the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.
We'll take a break. We're coming right back.